Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, The Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And Thursday means we're one step closer to the weekend, or as I like to say, one step closer to wearing jeans to work tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. So I'll take that as a weekend victory. I don't know. Big show. We missed you last week. Yes, I know. It was my fault. But we're back, and we're better than ever. We have Are You the One to discuss. We have Survivor to discuss. We have the challenge and the voice to discuss. Mariah Carey is there. Mariah Carey. That's all I need to really say about this. But before I say anything else, before I talk about anything else, I have to introduce my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
It's this evening, and you're drinking Coke, and you get to wear jeans tomorrow, so we're all good. But Mariah Carey, come on. She's so freaking fake, and it still proves it. Can I have a hug? Oh, sure you can, honey.
Of course she doesn't want anybody to touch her. She said someone's better than that. She's so freaking fake, I can't stand her being on there.
You're coming in hard with Mariah Carey, which is cracking me up.
You know how I feel about her.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that this is the most normal I've ever seen her, which is saying something. Well, I think this is a very toned down Mariah Carey.
Because it's a very fake version of her. She's trying to be likable.
Well, true. I'll take it. But it's a very normal. I mean, guys, let's be real. If you want to see the best version of Mariah Carey, go to the old episode of Mariah Carey Cribs. Best episode of Cribs ever. Just throwing that out there. MTV Cribs, remember back in the day?
Best, yes, I remember in the day.
Episode ever. Just throwing it out there. Man, we've got so much to discuss. And I want to get you in the conversation as well. Hit us up on our Facebook page. You can subscribe. You can and see what's going on there. Twitter, I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. And, let us know what you are watching. What are you doing? What are you thinking? And as always, you can hit this episode and all of our episodes on our archives on blogtechradio.com or on iTunes. Okay, let's start with Survivor. Let's discuss Survivor a little bit. We need to talk the past two episodes. And, this is what I have to say. When we last had a conversation, you said that Natalie was not long for this world. And I said, look, if she makes it past next week, she's going a long way. She's the perfect goat. She's not going to win any competitions. No one's going to vote for her to win at the end. She's a perfect take. You were right. She went the very next episode. You were right. Now, I can admit when I'm wrong. I can also admit it when I say that this was not a great move. Getting Natalie out in this spot was not a strong move for the Goliath tribe. I mean, for Angelina and Allie, it was just not a good move for them. I mean, can we agree on this?
Well, sometimes mental health far outweighs normal health in the game.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, if it was a situation where it was so bad to live on that island that you could not tolerate a single second with her, But I don't, I mean, and we're not there. I'm not there. We obviously can't see what's going on. But I feel like you can avoid Natalie. I feel like you can, if you just avoid her telling you what to do, you're okay. I don't think like it was so bad. I feel like there were other ways to go for that tribe than taking out Natalie. And I just don't think it was a great decision. Now, here we are. I like it, though, because this was two Goliaths going out in a row, which essentially evened out the David versus Goliath when we get into the merge. Now, this past week, Lyrsa went. She was a David. So we are going into the merge at 7-6 with the Goliaths have one more person. But in reality, this could have been a David blowout. We could have had 3 weeks of David's going home every single week, and it would have been terrible. It just would have been a terrible thing to watch. Now we're going into the merge with an even playing field. I'm very curious going into this merge because the merge is next week's episode, and I'll backtrack and I'll talk about, you know, this past week's, but going into the merge, Priscilla, I'm super interested to see if it's going to be the Goliaths band together and take out the Davids. But I feel like that doesn't happen. I feel like the Goliaths, because they have been labeled as Goliaths, I feel like they are much better at this game. And they think that their biggest competition as other Goliaths. So I feel like when we get to the merge episode, a Goliath is going home. That's my prediction. What are your thoughts?
I would have to tend to agree. I think that the David's, I think I said the last time that I think the David's going to win it.
I agree with you. I feel like a David can sneak in there. If we are, and I think the makeup of the jury will be a big deal, how many Davids and how many Goliaths are in the jury. I don't know if they're necessarily going to vote between tribe lines. It might be something where the Goliaths decide to vote for a David because they don't want another Goliath to win. Or a David, you know, David could do that too. I just feel like with these labels, I also feel like they set up the season, and I think I talked about this earlier in the season, where if a Goliath wins, it's not very exciting because they're supposed to win. Even though I know the fable that David ultimately wins in the end, I just feel like if a Goliath wins, we're like, okay. You know, Goliath won. I feel like they're really setting us up that we all want a David to win. We want the underdog. You and I love the underdog, and that's what we're looking for. So I would like to see a David win, and I think that they're setting us up for a David to win.
That's what I'm getting.
But we're going into this merge fairly even. So I feel like we're going to see at least one Goliath flip over and go, I want to work with these Davids. I want to make something work. I want to lead the Davids, the SWAT. I want to be their leader. And then, boom, next thing you know, a Goliath is gone. That's what I'm thinking. Let's go back to this past week with Lyrsa going home. I feel like the episode where Natalie went home and this episode with Lyrsa going home are really wonderfully connected, both because the same tribe went back-to-back weeks to tribal council. But when we saw Natalie leave, we saw one of the most epic exits ever. I mean, She didn't give Angelina her jacket. That didn't happen. She wasn't giving her her jacket.
She wasn't even acknowledging her presence. I love giving her a jacket.
Nope. Her confession at the end where she was wearing the jacket was one of my favorite things to ever happen on Survivor. I loved it so much. There was no need to put that jacket on, and yet she did it. And I don't know if a producer was like, put that jacket on, or if she did it herself, but whoever did it, fantastic. Good work. That was fantastic. But I was thinking, as this was happening, I thought to myself, one, did Angela think about this all along? Did Angela decide that she is going to put a vote against Lyrsa and then say, Natalie, can I have your jacket? Or was it just nonsense? Did she just do it on a whim? So this is what I was thinking about. We got that answer at the beginning of this episode where they told us Angelina planned this out. She was going to not keep Natalie. She knew that Natalie was going to go home. So she put a vote towards Lyrsa in the hopes to get her jacket. Now, in what universe did Angelina think for one second that Natalie was going to give her jacket to somebody on her way out? Have you met Natalie? I haven't. And I knew that jacket was not going. Well, did you think all of a sudden Natalie was going to be like, sure, take my jacket? What were they watching? What did they think? Who did they think? Now, maybe Natalie had a softer side that we just didn't see in the edit. And maybe Angela thought that she was closer to her. That's the only reason I think that she thought that this plan was going to work. But there's no way. Priscilla, tell me a situation where Natalie gives up her jacket to Angelina.
Well, I don't think she would give her jacket to anybody, not just Angelina.
I know. Right after she got voted out. And for the record, she doesn't know if Angelina voted for her or not. She knows, I mean, Mike could have voted for Lyrsa. Now, it turned out that Angelina voted for Lyrsa and Mike voted Natalie out. But she doesn't, she's certainly not going to give her jacket. So this was a very dumb idea. And we saw this play out over this episode because it comes to light that Angelina said, you know what? I voted for Lyrsa because I wanted Natalie's jacket, and this is what I wanted to do. And what I think people heard was, I voted someone out because I wanted their jacket. This is the reason that I did this. So I will vote anyone out for any reason.
Okay, so my take on it. One, if that's the case, then she knew going in Natalie was going home. That they never showed.
I think she did. I think she did, yeah.
Two, really bad cover-up to why you voted against somebody, knowing how Natalie was anyways. Why would you call, if that was your move, why would you alienate the person that's going to stay? That makes no sense to me for a jacket when you were signing up for Survivor. Makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Any way you look at it, bad gameplay.
Yeah, it's a terrible move because you're absolutely right. So there was no way in hell that Natalie was going to give her jacket. So I don't know what the hell she was thinking. But beyond that, you, of course, yes, you're now alienating Lyrsa because you wrote her name down. You don't get over that. That's not something that's not like, oh, cool, it's because you wanted her jacket. Got it. No problem. That's not how that works on Survivor. But everybody sees you for being sneaky. Everybody sees you that this is what you're capable of. I think you lose a lot of trust with your alliance. I 100% thought that Angelina was leaving this week. Usually I understand that there's a, you know, they say, oh, this person's going to leave, and then, you know, person B leaves. And I know it was very, like, heavily edited so that Angelina was going to leave. But I really thought she was going this week. When Lyrsa left, I was kind of surprised that it was Lyrsa. After the fact, I'm like, I understand why it was Lyrsa. But I really thought that Angelina, like, shot herself in the foot. And I think long-term in the game, she did. I think long-term in the game, she did shoot herself in the foot. Yes. It was just a terrible move. So we've had 2 weeks straight of just terrible moves conducted by the Goliath tribe. It's just not great. Just not great. So here we are, like I said, going into the merge 7-6, and there's a lot of distrust for people. There's a lot of distrust for people within the Goliath tribe. And I think we're going to see a lot of cracking because of it. So it will be fun to watch. I can't believe we're at the merge already. I feel like this season has gone quickly for me. These past couple episodes, I'm really liking this season. I'm excited for it. I really want to see this idol nullifier play out. I just want to see how that plays out. I think it's going to be a non-starter. Yeah, I agree. I think most likely we're not going to see it play out, but I think it'll be fun to see what happens with it once. And then I never want to see it again. Oh, I also wanted to bring up before we move on, I want to go back to last episode. They hid an idol at the challenge again. You know I love an idol in the challenge. Dan now has two idols. I think this is like one of the worst people to have two idols. I'm not feeling the fact that Dan has two idols. This doesn't excite me in any way. It goes back. They had a conversation first episode about the disparity between women finding idols to men. And I thought that we were going to, I mean, this was edited in the first episode of the season. I thought we were getting this for a reason. And I thought this, like, all of a sudden, like, women were getting these, I thought something was going to come from this conversation that was clearly edited to the show for a reason. But that hasn't happened so far. So far, we are getting a very traditional, not only do men get the idol, but typically the same person gets the idol because they know what to look for, which Dan articulated in the episode. So in this case, he got the clue. He knew exactly where the idol was. And I love an idol in the competition, but I feel like that was a pretty easy, in terms of getting an idol in the competition, that was a pretty easy spot to look. They didn't even make a big deal about it. They spent 2 seconds showing Dan getting the idol, and that was that. It seemed like a very easy thing to get.
It was very easy. The way they had it placed, where they had it placed, I knew it was going to be easy, especially when I seen the layout and seen where it was at.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought we were getting, and there's still more game to be played. Maybe there'll be a woman who gets the idol this time around. I just think, why put that into the first episode of the season if then you just kind of shed light on the fact that there's a major disparity in people finding idols? But that was it. But the rest of the season just goes normally.
Another way they edited it somewhat made me feel like that maybe he is going to get, even though he has two idols, that the way that it was edited, I thought that they were going to lose and that he would be the one going home. But I wonder if the next episode is when he goes home.
Dan would be, we see during the Merge episode, we usually see like a strong guy go home. This is the episode where you go, okay, now we're dropping teams. We're going to individuals. Let's knock out a strong competitor right now. And there's a couple of people that kind of fit that bill, because typically this is like where a Malcolm would go home, or, you know, this is where traditionally those type of players go home. So like Dan is definitely in that mix. Alec is in that mix. John, the mayor of Slamtown, whatever, John, he's in that mix. I feel like there's a lot of people that, there isn't like a dominant early, tell me if I'm wrong, Priscilla, but I don't see a dominant, like, here's this one guy that everyone should be absolutely scared of. We should take him out right at the merge. I feel like there's a couple of people that fit that bill.
Right. I agree with that. I don't know why I think it was Dan, right? He's always stood out, or Dave. He's always stood out to me as being one of the first guys, of the major guys to go home.
Dan is someone that you can tell doesn't know a lot about the game, really doesn't know a lot about what's going on. I could see a total situation where he goes home with both of those idols in his pocket.
I see.
And has
well.
No idea. Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Now I can also see him using them. You know, I'm not saying that's a definite, but I can 100% see him going home with both idols. I can absolutely see that. Davey has an idol too. I think that's why you're confusing both of them. Davey and Dan. Yeah. Those are the two guys that have idols, and there's three of them, three idols between them. So, you know, well, we haven't seen one played yet. No one's really needed to have it yet. But I 100% can see him going home, two idols, no problem. He's not, like I said, he is not, when he found the clue again, I was like, I tend to get excited when somebody gets a second idol, because I'm like, cool things can happen to it. Look at Kelly Wentworth. Look at, you know, look at these people. We have seen really fun things happen with people with who have two idols. I just don't see him using it to his, like, utmost advantage. So, you know. I must say that I am liking him more. He was someone that I was super against because of the whole showman's thing. But
right.
I think that him and Kara being on separate tribes, I like both of them more individually when they're separated. And I hope that Kara is able to distance herself enough away from Dan. Because I think if they get back together, I think it's ultimately going to be a problem. And I can see Dan going home in a merge because he comes back and he's like all over Kara. And they're like, get him out. Here's an alliance. You know, here's a powerful two person. Get him out.
Well, since he's going to be gone next week, I don't think it's a worry. Just saying.
So you're predicting him? I just don't know. I mean, I could see it. I don't know. I mean, this really is a perfect spot for the mayor of Slamtown to go out. It really is. I think he's doing a lot of really good social work, though. He is someone that I thought he was going to bother me. I thought he was going to definitely use his wrestling persona, but I like him a lot on the show. I like him. I love his relationship with Christian. I like this cross tribe alliance thing that's kind of happening. So I feel like he's someone who's he would be the traditional merge boot, but I think his social game keeps him in for longer than it should.
You know, we still haven't seen. We've seen their tribe. There is one tribe that we haven't seen a whole lot of.
Right.
We've seen two tribes, and that's why I hate three tribes, because we still don't know that third tribe very well at all.
No.
You know, if they do, might be one of the ones going home if it does happen this week. If that's the case, then he may not go home, because we have not seen anybody from the other tribe to know. I mean, they showed Natalie. Of course, she was a presence, more so than anything. So now that she's gone, where's that limelight going to go? I didn't really see it get focused anywhere except to Dan this particular episode.
Well, I think Dan and Angelina, I think.
Oh, yeah, Angelina, too. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then she didn't go home.
No, she didn't. But I think her time is coming soon. I think her time is coming sooner than it should.
I think there will be bigger fish to fry than her if they merge. That's only if they merge.
Well, they are merging next week.
Are they for sure? I didn't see that at the end. Like I said, I skimmed through it real quick.
Yeah. They are for sure. They are for sure merging next week. So I don't think he goes anywhere.
I think there'll be bigger fish to fry then.
Yeah, you know who I thought was in a lot of trouble, but now I think is going to be really, like, going to really make it down to at least Final Six, and I think it's Mike. I think Mike went from, you know, running around and trying to find the idol day one because he was so excited about the game and didn't care about winning. And now he's gone to building some really interesting social alliances. Again, cross-tribal. I think he's someone that could very easily vote with the Davids and not care about the Goliaths. I can see him going far. I think he's kind of like Natalie. He's in the Natalie spot where, you know, he's not a major threat for individual immunity. And I don't think people are going to vote for him at the end simply because they all know about his background. He's, you know, he's a fairly wealthy guy. Now, you know me, I have major problems with people voting on who needs the money the most or deserves the money the most rather than who played the best game because, you know, believe me, there are 20 other people that need the money way more than these 20 on the show. If we were doing it that way, we would take the 20 people that need the money the most, and that's not how we do this. But that being said, I just can't see anyone giving him $1 million when he already, you know, when they already know that he is a millionaire. So he's a good person to kind of take far in the game. And I really respect the fact that he really got himself out of trouble. I mean, he went from being one of the first Goliaths that could possibly go. And I think now he's in one of the strongest positions in the game. So that's my take on him. Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting that you think I need a spotlight?
Like I said, the one team we haven't seen all that much, we kind of already hit on the two teams that we do know that they have been spotlighting quite a bit. I still have not got their names down, for gosh sakes. The nerdy dude. I see him.
Christian?
Christian, there you go. I kind of see him winning the game myself or going far. I think he'll be top three. I think he's just nerdy enough, but he's also building social skills a little bit as well as he goes, which is going to help him a little bit. And he's not, I mean, he's not horrible at the challenges either.
No.
I mean,
Christian,
he may not be athletic. He takes it as a scientific, and you know, you can, when he like does a puzzle or when he does any of the challenges, he doesn't come at it with brute force like an athlete would. He comes through, you know, at it with the science behind it. Okay, let's make it work. Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out.
You know, Christian is a very interesting guy in that nerd stereotype figure. You know, because we have seen that person. We have seen Christian at least a dozen times, and people like Cochran, and what's his face, Red Turtleneck during Heroes and Hustlers, who made it to Final Three. I mean, we have seen that person. I think the difference is Christian does a good job. That stereotype nerd, I think, is often associated with like being sneaky or being super smart or being, you know what I mean? Like being kind of devious, like being an automatic super fan. I think that's what you read when you see that. And I think he's done a really good job at like distancing himself from that stereotype. So like, I don't think people see him as sneaky. In fact, I think people see him as very trustworthy. I mean, he's awkward, but he's not like, you can tell that people still find it very easy to talk to him, even though he's awkward. So he's probably one of the best versions of that stereotype we have seen. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, I feel like John, who is that stereotypical, like, huge beefcake, like, male athlete stereotype, which, again, we've seen 100 times. I feel like John is one of the best versions of that stereotype we've seen, at least in a long time, because he has found ways to find himself very relatable. He has good social connections with people. He's not the cocky person that I thought he was going to be. So I feel like this season we have gotten like strong. It's not like we're getting all kinds of new, this is a new person to play the game, a new demographic, a new type of person. Like we got Lauren last year and there was like nobody that was like Lauren. I don't think that's necessarily true for these people, but we're seeing really good versions of those people. So that's a good thing to bring up, Priscilla. That was a good point. We're seeing, you know, we're just seeing really strong versions of that stereotype. So that's good. Even Gabby with her lack of confidence, I still see that she's good in challenges. She has, you know, she's making some connections. You know, she doesn't have that like Hannah side to her. She, you know, there's that female nerd stereotype. I think she's kind of bucking that a little bit. So, I mean, it's been good. I think it's a good season. I'm into it. I don't know if I'm gonna. I'm trying to end this with a prediction of who I think is going on Merge, because you were bold enough to choose Dan. Like you chose someone. And I feel like I need to do that too. And I'm trying to think who I think it's going to be. And I honestly don't know. Part of me thinks it's going to be Alec, but I don't know why it would be him. I don't know. But I feel like I shouldn't go with Dan. I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
No? Just because you thought he'd stay around for a while?
I don't think Dan would stay around for a while. But just logically, the fact that he has two idols, you would think that he would not go with two idols.
We've seen worse things happen.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't see like a Carl or a Davey going. I'm trying to think, who would I see? I'm thinking about, you know, what I see like an Elizabeth leaving. You know, we saw her shine this episode as well with the structure, her wanting to sleep in the non-bamboo site and then making all that noise when people were trying to sleep, you know that doesn't end well for people when that's happening. So, you know, but I like her, so I don't want it to be her. I don't know. Well, I'll talk about Are You the One, but in the back of my mind, I'll be thinking about what my prediction is. By the end of the episode, I will say a person's name of who I think is going to be.
I haven't been following Are You the One, but I do want to, before you go any further, tell you that you were correct on calling out. I still think that Tyler and Angela are together, not for the reason, but I hate the way they have turned their social media into that's all it is promotions, which is really sad because they're going to end up losing a ton of fans. And I already seen somebody call Tyler out on it, and he just came back like, well, go get this and you'll just be happier without being on my page or whatever. So I see them losing a lot of fans from it and not getting their extra 15 minutes if they continue in the path they're on.
See, that's an interesting take. And of course, Priscilla's talking about Big Brother 20, Angela and Tyler. You know, that's an interesting take because I absolutely called that they were together for, you know, publicity and media reasons. And I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with your take on that they're going to lose fans. I feel like here's the thing.
I've already unfollowed them because I'm tired of every time they post something, it's an advertisement of some sort for themselves. That's it.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
I've already seen several others call out the same thing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I don't put you in the fan category. I don't put you in the fan category. I think that, okay, there is a small subsection of Big Brother fan that's like super interested in specifically the showmances after the season breaks. And, you know, it's a very specific type of fan who, and I think those people, in their eyes, they can do no wrong. And that's okay. That's your thing. I'm not judging. But I think the average Big Brother fan who, you know, when I say average, I mean a live feed watcher who, so slightly more than average, who, you know, is just kind of saying, okay, Big Brother 20 is great. I don't think they're paying a ton of attention. I don't think they are. I don't think that that's their thing.
They should.
You know, I think that, and not just them, by the way, I think that anyone who's getting into the showmances, I think they believe, you know, that what happened to Jess and Cody is going to happen to them. And I think they have to remember that Jess and Cody were two very specific people and like in a specific circumstance, and they had a certain personality that people wanted to see. So they were, you know, they were pulled out for Amazing Race. They were pulled out for these things. But Jess and Cody were essentially, I don't necessarily agree with this, but most people see them as underdogs in a season that was dominated by Paul. And they were the only two that were rallying against that dominance. And because of that, I think that they got a lot of, you know, people were very excited about them. And, you know, they both have, you know, they Cody and Jess have, like, specific personalities. And, you know, you could tell that they were really, truly into each other beyond the publicity part of it. But I believe that they took this, you know, and I think future showmances, this is going to be a problem. They took this and they were like, this is the formula. If we do this formula, the same thing will happen to us. And it's just not the case. You know, they're not going to go on Amazing. You know, that's not going to happen for them because they're different people. and it was a different season, you know, and that's just it. So anyway, that's my rant against, I guess, showmances. I don't know, but, you know, I think we, until, you know, the showmances, like if this season nothing major happens to them, you know, I think we're going to just see a ton of them until it gets to the place where we don't see that, where it's not a big deal anymore. And then we'll see less of them. Do you know what I mean?
It's frustrating, though.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks because it's not true. And I think as the seasons of Big Brother go on, I think that there's just more opportunities to be media savvy and more people go on kind of understanding that world, you know, understanding that if I do this, I will get more Instagram followers. If I do that, I'll be able to go on Bold and the Beautiful. If I do that, you know, people are able to make these moves and it's less and less natural. And I think that makes the game less enjoyable to watch because it's more fake. And the whole reason of watching it in the first place was to watch real people interact with each other and play a game. But I think as time goes on and people are like, I don't care about this showmance, they're not going to be on Amazing Race, they're not going to get these things, I think the balance will return to normal.
You think?
I have to believe that. I have to believe that to be true, or else it's going to be sad. But I have to believe that to be true. I do have to say, we're totally getting off subject of Are You the One, but I have to say, not that I followed a ton of them on social media after the fact, but I'm already seeing a lot less coupley things.
What do you mean by
like
that?
I'm seeing less of Haley and Fessy. I'm seeing less of Bailey and Swaggy.
So, well, they're on their social media. I mean, as for being out in public, yes, Fessy and Haley they went up to his college last weekend. She's still in Florida. Swaggy's still living with mommy and daddy and Dave. So, yes, they're still there. They're still posting. They're still all together.
Yeah, but I used to.
But they're not like, I don't know. I know that they did like a signing in Orlando while she's down there. And I don't know about swagging them because I just really don't care to follow them.
But
He's annoying.
Without following them on social media, just through retweets and things like that, I was able to see what was happening. And I just am not – I'm seeing that less and less where, you know, there's just less retweeting and less talking about it and less Reddit posts and things like that. And that's the nature of the beast in terms of, you know, a couple months after Survivor and things kind of – or not Survivor, after Big Brother, things kind of quiet down, you know. And then before you know it, Priscilla, Celebrity Big Brother –
around the corner.
Round the corner. This is. I could be so fed up with Big Brother and just be so like fatigued by it. And then you say something like Celebrity Big Brother is around the corner, and I just get excited about it all over again. I'm just like, yes. I'm like, I'm ready. Like it's just. It's so funny. No matter how many seasons I watch, it's just like yes, it is. I need to see this cast. I'm not gonna see this cast. For a while, but I'm excited. So, Are You the One? Are You the One? I gotta talk a little bit about this because I am digging this season. They are terrible at this game, though. They have one episode left, and so help me God, if they win, it is because the producers told them, came in and told them what couple was what who belonged with who. There is no way they are going to be able to figure this out on their own. The most amount of beams that they have gotten has been four. They have had four for like the last 7 weeks. They have been stuck on four. There is no way that they are going to be able to figure this out. And yet I feel like somehow it will still kind of all come together in the end. But there's no way. There's absolutely no way that they're going to be able to figure this out on their own. That is my quick take. I am calling out producer interference immediately if they somehow win this money. There's no way. They have no idea what they're doing. Now, I used to believe that it would, like, win or lose, it would make a difference. But I'm kind of finding that I really don't care if they win or lose. Like, I'm enjoying the process. I enjoy the show. If they don't win at the end, I'm okay with that now that we've seen what happens when they don't win. So I'm okay with them not winning. And they shouldn't, because they are terrible at this.
They're terrible.
They are terrible. They are absolutely terrible at figuring this out. And it was crazy because, like, the second week they got a perfect match couple. And I thought to myself, wow, they're really going to, you know, they're going to do well. And then it just, they have two perfect couples now where they know about two. And it's so funny because the couple that you could tell that they're just kind of bored and over it because they've been, like, by themselves in the honeymoon suite for the past, like, whatever, like 7 months. and they go out, and when they come out, the only time you see them is when they're doing the matchup ceremony, and they try to, like, talk like they know what the hell is happening in the game, but they have no idea. Most of the other people don't even know what their names are, like, don't even remember who they are. It's so sad. But they you know, had this perfect match couple right out the gate. But they have not been able to get over four matches in nine matchup ceremonies. So there's no way they're winning this. Absolutely no way. However, that being said, this might be my favorite season of Are You the One? I really dug the craziness. They had a lot of wacky people. But not like, yeah, I respected the fact that they didn't have too many, like, full-on, like, douchebags. They had some complicated people on. Like, they weren't, like, the best people on Earth, but they weren't, like, full-on, like, I'm just a douchebag, and that's what my problem is. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really like this season. There's no way in hell they're going to win. That's my take, Priscilla.
I watched the first couple of episodes, and I have the rest of them on the DVR. I don't know. When it comes to the pecking order of getting stuff watched, I keep putting it low on the show. So now that you said it's good, maybe I'll catch up on it.
Yeah, I recommend it. I mean, I'm liking it. They mixed it up with some interesting editing. I don't love, you know me, I enjoy a beginning, middle, and an end. I would like to see a matchup ceremony in the end of an episode. They had episodes where they didn't have any matchup ceremonies. They had episodes where they were in the middle. You know, I don't love that. I like a... You know, it's like the rose ceremony. I need it at the end of the episode. When it's in the middle, I think it's crazy. So they've been doing stuff like that. Terrence J as the host is very interesting because he's very, like, big brother to them almost. Like, he's very, like, guys, you need to do better than this. But it's okay, man, because I love you all. Like, it's a very interesting dynamic. The one thing that I hope they reconfigure for next season is that fate button. They decided that they didn't want to do any more games or challenges anymore. And I can understand why that was, it took away from the, you know, the rest of the episode and getting to know the players and things like that. But pushing a button and having two quote unquote people randomly come up and then two other people randomly come up, there needs to be a better way than doing that. I didn't like that. And there's a lot of time spent on here's the fate button, who's going on this date this week, when, you know, there really shouldn't be a lot of time spent on it if it's truly randomized. So that's my only criticism of it. But the rest of it, you should totally watch. You should totally watch.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm liking it, to be perfectly honest. I'm liking it a million times better than the challenge this season. Like, if I have the challenge and Are You the One on my DVR, I'm always choosing Are You the One to watch. Challenge, I'm leaving further. What you're doing to Are You the One, I'm essentially doing to the challenge, where I'm leaving that, you know, I'm finding other things to watch before I watch Are You the One, before I watch the challenge. I'm not, you know, I like the idea of an individual winner. I hate the Redemption House concept. I hate the idea of, you know, some of these teams coming in halfway through the show and being able to win. I just hate that. I just hate that. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, they left and then they came back. I mean, take Johnny and Tony, for instance. Johnny and Tony have been they were on the ropes, and all of a sudden two teams came back with Cara Marie and Natalie and Polly, and then all of a sudden they were at this advantage again. And not that I love Team Young Bucks by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's a terrible God. I mean, maybe that may be part of the other reason. They want us to care about this new era of challenge as people like Johnny are quote unquote like retiring or what have you. But they're terrible people. You know, like Johnny was a terrible person, but at least he made me laugh. These people are just terrible. Like, I don't care what the hell Corey's doing. I don't care about Nelson. I certainly don't care about Hunter. Why do I care about these people? Why are they? They're not interesting or dynamic in any way.
Speaking of Corey, he's still an arrogant ass. I mean, he did. Yeah. I had him catching his Insta Live. Right after the, well, I don't know if it's after the show, but it was after it aired where they got kicked off. And it's like, you know, he's like, well, I got to take full responsibility and I shouldn't have done that. And after viewing the tape, yada, yada, yada. But then, I mean, he may have said he apologized, but I don't think he really meant it.
No,
because then he comes,
of course not.
I mean, then he comes back, you know, well, you know, he fueled the fire and you shouldn't poke a bear and yada, 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 yada. But I don't want my daughter to see this. I mean, he was so double talking himself so much where like, he's this great dad and he might be as you know, but he's not apologetic. You know, he, you know, lives different side of the tracks than the other Tony. And yeah, it's just like, why even go on and even go there if you're not really even going to mean it or apologize and mean it. And I don't know. I don't know. I still think he's an arrogant ass. And because
well,
then at the end, he's like, then at the end, he's like, well, you know, what do all you guys got? And he's like, well, catch me on, you know, Teen Mom or whatever. It's like he's got something going for him because he's on Teen Mom, which is a show I'll never watch, by the way.
Me too. I'm with you on that. But my thing is, you know, we always were like, Johnny is an asshole. And he is. But he made
But he's
me
grown
laugh.
On me. Well, He's grown on me so much, but I still don't like him that well.
And I love, and of course, and obviously I love CT, and Wes is a douchebag, but Wes would make me laugh. Like, there's certain people, like, you know, there's certain, and I'm not saying, like, I only like old school and new school, but I'm just saying that they're lacking assertive personality and warmth that make you care about whether or not they win $1 million or not. And maybe that's why they're starting to add more Big Brother. Maybe they're trying to mix it up and try to find people that, you know, maybe the audience will have more of a connection with. Because I don't think anyone cares. You know, does anyone really care about Amanda or about Sylvia or Joss? Like, does anybody really care if they win $1 million? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so that, I think, is my issue with the challenge. I'm just having a hard time connecting with these alliances. And the Redemption House thing is bothersome. It's not my thing. I'm still watching it. I'm still keeping up with it. I'm not behind. But it's, you know, I'm not. And I'm digging the challenges themselves. Like, I think what they're doing in terms of challenges is very fun. I didn't love the trivia that they did last week, but other than that, I've been pretty happy with what they're doing. But I just, you know, if Nelson wins $1 million, I could care less. If Hunter wins $1 million, I could care less. You know, it does, you know, you want it to be, even when Cara Maria won last year, there was a level of like, you know, she's not my favorite person in the world, but I respect the fact that she's been doing it for so long and she like had a really strong season. You know, I'm down with that. But like if Sylvia wins it, I could care less. They need to have situations where Jenna doesn't leave so damn soon because Jenna left the first episode. I was like, well, Jenna's my favorite and she's gone now, so I don't really care what happens.
Johnny was in New York and he did a Facebook Live and he ended up bringing Jenna on. She is just as big of a ditch as she is on the show. Oh my God, I was laughing so hard. He was acting like he couldn't hear her, and she's like, really, Johnny, really? And then he's like, you know, I'm just kidding. And then he'd do it again, and she's like, Johnny, can't you hear me? I'm like, oh, my God, you can't tell he's doing this intentionally. Come on.
I know. I love her. I was like, there's something about her. There's something about her. I just absolutely love. I love. And I will say the best fight in challenge history was her and her cousin fighting over because they thought the fight was over being jealous over working at a bakery. You think you've been so you think you're so great since you got that job at the bakery. It was best fight. They came to blows over a bakery job. It was fantastic. Oh my God. So when Jenna leaves, I can care less what happens. But it's not going to be a satisfying ending if Joss or, so really, you know, if Paulie or Natalie win, it's not going to be satisfying either. So I'm really running out of people who I care if they win or not. So I'm just kind of, that's where we're at. Anyway, next week, we got to talk about the merge episode of Survivor. I teased the fact that we were going to discuss Mariah Carey, and we didn't. We'll do it next week. Don't worry. and we'll talk about a whole lot more
things.
We'll talk a whole lot more. Thank you guys for listening, as always. And have a great week. We'll see you next time. Good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.